Did you see this story about the Malayan tiger at the Bronx Zoo who has tested positive for COVID-19? Now, what is happening there? How is that possible? Karen Terrio is with us. She's a vet and clinical professor at the University of Illinois College of Veterinary Medicine, one of the best on the planet Earth. And Dr. Terrio, thank you very much for being with us. Now, this Nadia is patient zero, if you will, at the Bronx Zoo. And some of the other cats, big cats, have also tested positive for COVID-19 as well, right?
No, Nadia is the only one that was tested. Okay. For us to be able to get the clinical samples that we would need to test a tiger, they have to be anesthetized, obviously. They don't just open wide and let you swab in their mouth.
Right.
She was the only one that was tested for that reason. But the reason for the testing was because the animal care staff at the Wildlife Conservation Society's Bronx Zoo noticed that several lions and tigers had symptoms of respiratory illness.
So is it assumed then that they have COVID-19 as well?
It's a presumptive.
Yeah.
We can't say for certain that they do or don't. It's just a presumptive.
Okay, so their symptoms that they're exhibiting, this is, I think, really interesting. They're also having that shallow cough, right? And they've lost appetite?
Correct, absolutely.
And lethargic too?
Yeah, and you know, we don't know how this disease, if it's going to present exactly the same way in a tiger that does in a human. They presented with those symptoms, and the animal care staff at Bronx Zoo is going to be continually monitoring them, and we're going to be trying to learn as much as possible from these cases.
Okay, so is there something about the feline, something about cats that makes them more susceptible, not susceptible? Do we have any idea where this goes?
So the way that a virus can infect any animal, and in that I would include a human animal as well, is that the virus has to be able to bind to a receptor and in this case it's within the respiratory system. And the receptor that this virus uses in cats is similar to that receptor in humans. And so it is possible that there's just enough similarity between those receptors that the virus can then, you know, more easily infect cats. But I would say that just seeing it in a tiger does not necessarily mean that your domestic cat is just as susceptible, because tigers are a completely different species than domestic cats are. And so there might be slight differences in their receptors. We just don't know the answer to that yet.
There was some concern initially, and there were so many rumors that came out in the initial days of this, that dogs were testing positive for it or dogs were having it. Is there any indication that dogs?
So, you know, at this point, this is the first real case where we've got the positive test in a sick animal that we can sort of, you know, link up. There's definitely been a number of reports of dogs and other species that might be able to be susceptible, but they've mostly just tested positive but not had clinical signs associated with the disease.
Okay, so
that's the difference between being exposed to the virus and being infected and having disease from the virus, which are different things.
Got it. So if they've been exposed, though, would they be potentially could they then be contagious to humans if, in fact, they had the virus, like other humans who have the virus don't show the symptoms but are contagious?
That is one of the great unknowns that we don't know the answer to right now, is that we don't know how often animals can be infected asymptomatically and potentially shed the virus. And so that's just something that we don't know at this point. At this time, we have no evidence to suggest that animals are serving as a source of infection for humans. It's much more likely that humans are giving the virus to the animals.
And in the Bronx Zoo, that seems to be the case, right? That there was somebody on the staff that had tested positive, and then the cats ended up getting it, or at least this one tested positive for it.
Correct. That's what we're presuming that happened in that instance.
So in terms of this particular lion, or all the lions and the big cats at the Bronx Zoo, how are they treating them?
That is a question for the clinicians at the Bronx Zoo. I don't know the answer to that one.
All right. And as people are coming to you at the University of Illinois Hospital, mm-hmm. at the vet center there, obviously, you know, cats and dogs and birds and they get sick all the time, and you guys see them all the time. Are you folks suspicious that you might be seeing COVID-19 in any of them?
You know, at this point right now, you have to remember that there are a lot of different respiratory viruses and different things that can cause respiratory disease in domestic animals and pets. And so unless there's a really high degree of suspicion because we know that the pet was exposed to a person that was sick, then that's, you know, those would be the situations that testing might be considered. But the U.S. Department of Agriculture has put together guidelines for what animals can be tested for the virus because, you know, right now we have a shortage of tests for humans, and we're very sensitive to that fact. And that's where the focus needs to be, is in human health. But there are instances where there can be approvals for testing for domestic pets or other animals. So right now there's no recommendation for routine testing of animals, but in certain circumstances, and if the veterinarian feels that it's warranted based on clinical signs and known exposure, then they could then talk with public health and other officials to, you know, get approval to have the test run. But currently the test can't be run without approval at multiple different levels.
Dr. Terrio, as a clinical professor at the University of Illinois College of Veterinary Medicine, do you have advice for pet owners in terms of keeping their pets safe from potentially being exposed to this, or for them not to be exposed, the owners not to be exposed by the pets?
Yeah, I mean, so it's the same recommendations that everybody has been hearing for a long time, is that, you know, washing your hands, practicing good hygiene. You know, if there is a situation where you have a person who is infected, the recommendation is then that the social distancing that they need to be, performing with people, you know, the social distancing with other people needs to also carry through to animals as well. And so the recommendation has been that if somebody is infected with this novel coronavirus, then that they should also be limiting their contact with their pets. If at all possible, have somebody else try to help them take care of those pets so that we can, you know, decrease the potential for a transmission to the pets. We still don't know a lot. We're learning constantly every day. Every day we're learning something new. And so that's the current recommendations.
And this is primarily mammals, right? I mean, would we be concerned about birds or fish even?
Yeah, so primarily we're looking at mammals at this point, correct?
Okay, all right. Dr. Terrio, thank you very much.
You're welcome very much. Thank you very much for taking the time.
All right, thank you. Dr. Terrio from the University of Illinois Veterinary School of Medicine, which is one of the best, as I said, in the country, and they're at the cutting edge of this. And this is a really fascinating thing, because these lions at the Bronx Zoo who all started coughing. And I'm not 110% sure what that sounds like when a lion coughs, as opposed to roaring, or it's, you know that, like with your dog, and sometimes your cat, you know, they do that. It's a weird, doesn't sound like a human cough, but you definitely tell that there's, you know, they're trying to get something out of their lungs. And it is it's such a strange thing. So they noticed this last week, that this one cat had gotten, particularly started coughing, loss of appetite, didn't look well. Then some of the other cats in the exhibit had the exact same problem. And these are Malayan tigers. These are not small animals. So they all started to behave in this way with the coughing and the lethargic behavior. And then they tested the one, and it turned out to be positive. So that is a really interesting set of circumstances here, and you just hope that it's not going to be able to move back and forth. And, you know, obviously we're concerned for all the humans, but we're also concerned for the cats. Here's what it sounds like, by the way. We just found a lion cough. Here's what it would sound like. Oh, that's worse than I thought. All right. Thank you, Brian.